Good to see everybody here this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, this is one of those deals where I like seeing the fellowship going on, but maybe we ought to just do that for an hour. I'm going to close these back doors. I'm going to close these for a minute, dear. You can open them up later if not too. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come before you and we just humble our hearts before you, Father. As we study your word, help us to get a better understanding of your nature and who you are and your will, Father. For my part, Father, sometimes it's difficult as I read through Genesis to understand everything that's going on. Just help me know that you are in control of everything, that you were in control back then, and you're in control now. And to put my trust and faith in you that no matter what happens in this life, that you will be there for me and for all those who are here this morning. Again, as we study your word, help us to get a better understanding of who you are. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 25. We'll be starting around about verse 19. Now, as I was studying this week, we're going to focus mainly on Esau and Jacob today. I ended up with more questions than answers, okay? So in light of that, I'm going to have a guest teacher today. Richard, would you get up and teach the class today? If I did that, that'd probably be the last time Richard showed up for Bible class on a Sunday morning. But no, really, as I go through this, I question a lot of things that happened, that transpired in the story. Starting in chapter 25, verse 19. These are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, and of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to his wife. 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Sometimes we can just kind of go right through that, but I want to stop right at 21. God had made a promise to Abraham and Isaac that his descendants was going to take this land. Same promise was made to Isaac. Isaac knew that his descendants was going to take this land. And yet his wife was barren. He could have just said, well, you know, God promised this, I'm going to sit back and just see how God works. God, or Isaac, prayed to God, and it was answered. His prayer was answered. And I just wanted to stop and note that even though the promise had been made, Isaac still prayed to God, and his prayer was answered. Which gives me encouragement, because I know that God hears my prayers when I ask. God's not going to give sometimes if we don't ask. But 22, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from the body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Before they were even born, God indicated that Jacob was going to be over Esau, that the older is going to serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out, he's red, hairy, they named him Esau. We talked a little bit, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about names meaning something. Esau means hairy. He's also indicated he's named Edom later on, which is red. And afterward, his brother came forward. with his hand holding on Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And some translations indicate that that means the deceiver, which I don't know. That doesn't fit Jacob at all. And there's laughter because, yes, it does indicate Jacob. Go ahead.
I think this is one of the strongest examples in the Bible that really demonstrates where the beginning of life actually takes place. There's a lot of debate today about when life actually begins, and the fact that these two were jostling with each other inside the womb certainly demonstrates to me that life had begun before they were physically born.
Okay. And I agree with that point. I mean, as far as when life begins. But it is interesting that they were already jostling in the womb. There was going to be, there was a conflict already started. They hadn't even been born yet. Because he comes out and Jacob's got his heel, you know. That's just funny. Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. And I see that, and I see the same thing that Abraham went through. God made a promise to Abraham. It took 25 years to fulfill this promise, okay? Isaac was married when he was 40 years old, 20 years later before these sons appeared. You know, so, you know, this seems like a long time to me. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Verse 28, now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. I'm just going to pause here for a moment. By the way, as we go through the story, if you've got any comments or questions, just throw them out here, because I do better as a teacher if I have some feedback and I can go with that, okay? I'm not a very good lecturer, I'll just tell you that. So if you have a comment or question, please bring it up so that I can work through the class. Go ahead, Carol.
Back in 21, when we're talking about Isaac, you know, going to the Lord, Isaac pleaded with the Lord.
He pleaded with the Lord?
Yeah, for a child. And, I mean, I understand praying is praying, but I think he did more than just pray, you know what I mean? I think it was very intense. It was one of those things where he really pleaded and begged, you know what I mean?
Not like, thank you for this food, and if you see your way, can we have a child? And
yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And that could very well be. I'm sure that he did. Verse 28. Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. See any potential problems coming up here? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, some potential problems coming up. And let's see, how do I want to put this? Maybe we can learn from this as parents, and maybe teach our young couples with children that you don't show partiality. Grandparents, try not to show partiality, because it can cause conflict, a lot of conflict. Something that stays with people their whole life. You know, they could be 89 years old on their deathbed. Great-grandma loved you a lot better than she did me, you know. But verse 29, Jacob had cooked stew. Esau came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Edom means red. And here's where I get into the questioning part, okay? If my brother came into the field and he said, I'm starving, and I was cooking soup, do you think I would charge him for a bowl of soup? In fact, I wouldn't even charge any of you guys. If I had soup on, I guess I'd give you a bowl of soup for free. And I'd give give you some crackers. Throw in some crackers and peanut butter too. Here is Jacob. He's got this stew going, and Esau comes in, and he's hungry. But Jacob wants something from it. He wants Esau's birthright. And that's not just a little thing. In this birthright, okay, as you go through, get into the law of Moses, we see the double portion given to the firstborn and all that, what goes with the firstborn. But this is a real special birthright. Because the inheritance that God was talking about, the descendants acquiring the land of Canaan, should have came through Esau, because he's the firstborn. That's part of the birthright that he had. But he was the one that's going to be blessed. He was the one that was going to take Canaan. Now, we saw a little earlier that God said that wasn't going to happen, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Start in verse 10 of chapter 9. Jerry, I always like picking on you because you sit up in the front and on to my right, so you always happen to be the guy I pick on to read. Would you read I want you to read through 19. No, let's go through 18. 10 through 18.
Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born, I had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand. Not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as is written, Jacob I love you, but Esau I hate you. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he pardons whom he wants to pardon.
Okay, 2 points here. First of all, God had a purpose in mind. It was God's purpose for Jacob to be the one of the descendants. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. And God purposed that. And we could struggle with that a little bit, because it says before they were even born, before they did right or wrong, or had any chance to do anything, God had purposed that his blessing was going to come through Jacob. He goes on to say that God is going to have mercy on whom he chooses to have mercy on. When I read that, I need to humble my heart. My heart becomes humble when I read that, because it isn't based on me. It's based on God's mercy. Let me just say, it's a powerful statement for me to read that. To read that God's mercy, or God will have mercy on whom he chooses to have mercy on. But we do read that it was God's purpose to have the blessing come through Jacob. So back to this story with the stew. Genesis chapter 25. Verse 31. Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me? Okay. One of those things that, you know, if I'm dead, birthright doesn't do me any good, so, you know, I guess it's not worth anything to me unless I get some of that stew. But Jacob pressed the issue. He said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. And the very last sentence of 34, Esau despised his birthright. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a position that you didn't want to be in a position of? Have you ever been in a position where you were responsible for something, but you didn't want that responsibility? And you ended up despising that because of this responsibility you've been put in, or this oversight area that you've been putting in? Anybody? And if so, you want to share it? You said yes, Sam. Did you want to share it?
I don't want to share it, but yeah, I've been through some of those.
Okay. Well, Esau despised his birthright. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 16. It says that there be no. Let's go back to 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Esau didn't put a lot of importance on this birthright. Again, we have to understand that the birthright was supposed to go through Abraham, Isaac, and Esau because he was the firstborn. And yet he didn't want that. He didn't want that responsibility. He didn't consider the fact that God would bless him for being the firstborn. He didn't consider any of that. He despised it, as a matter of fact.
It looks to me like he was so confident in himself. He could go out and hunt. He could provide for himself. He could do everything for himself that he wanted. And he couldn't see beyond that. And so, why have responsibilities when I can take care of myself and I don't have to worry about anybody else? And the job that he was going to get into was one where he was going to have great responsibility. And there's been a lot of times in my life that I just wanted to stay at this level, therefore I didn't have to take responsibility, but the situation's always like, if I don't do it, it won't get done. And so I did. But it's a desire within us. You know, do we want to step up to the plate? And he just didn't want to step up.
Can I use you for an example?
Sure.
Like you stepping into an eldership position when we really needed someone to step up into an eldership position. You could have said, you know, I got a lot of I like golf, and I don't even know what some of your favorite pastimes. I don't think it's golf. I don't know that I've ever seen you golf. I would rather go golfing. Or not fishing, because not fishing. Yeah, that's not the same. No. Think of something else. What's that, Eddie?
Sorry, we have to eat.
Yeah, that's right. We go fishing just, and this never worked with my wife.
Yeah.
We go fishing to support our food, you know.
Yeah. And fill the freezer.
Fill the freezer, and that's why you go hunting too.
Yeah.
You gotta eat. I saw a hand over here. Is it you, David, or Glenda?
All of us.
Okay. We'll go with Glenda first.
I was gonna say, it sounded like it was just an instance of dealing with here and now. He was starving and hungry and couldn't see beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have something to add to that, or I'll get back to that, Glenda. I'll respond to that in a second.
First of all, I don't think that Esau really tied in the blessing with the very fact that there was God's promise attached to it.
interesting that he, him being the favorite of Isaac, I believe there is strong enough, as we, the story transpires, strong enough evidence to think that he thought maybe he would still get it. Isaac was still bent on blessing and giving him the blessing. So it's really interesting because now the story is really paralleling that of Abraham, who wanted the promise to go through Ishmael. We're going to see the same thing transpire in this story as well. So I'm not sure that he was, that he was selling his birthright.
Good point. You know, I'm Dad's favorite. You know, I can tell you that I'm going to sell you my birthright, but Dad's still going to be in my corner. Good point. I want to respond to what Glenda said, and then I'll come around the room here. When it talks about Esau was an immoral and godless person, doesn't necessarily mean sexual immorality, but the immorality and the fact that he was godless was that he did put himself first, that he did think about only himself and what he was going to do. You don't see a lot of that in the story in Genesis, okay? You don't get a picture of that in Genesis. But here in Hebrews, it talks about how he was an immoral and godless person. And this is my opinion, okay? I'll just put it out there. This is my opinion, that the fact that it was that Esau thought about himself and what's good for me, right now, I'll go out and do whatever I want. I can go hunting. I can be out in the fields. I can do whatever I feel like doing. It's all about me. And when it comes down to it's all about me, then it isn't about God. And that's where the godless part comes in, okay? You can only serve one master. You either serve yourself or you serve God. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, take up a cross and follow him. Okay, Isaac.
Actually, that would have proved a real good point. I think it was just the fact that he had this built in his mind. If I'm Daddy's favorite and I already have this God promised stuff, I don't think he really comprehended the meaning of the blessing he was selling. So I don't know at the time when he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, he really thought, you know, that meant anything, because in the end, as we go further on in the story, we see him trying to chase after his brother to kill him and all of this. So he's obviously mad about the fact that his birthright had been sold, but I don't think at the time he sold it, he really meant anything to him.
Not any more than a bowl of soup, right? Yeah.
Where's the spice?
Huh?
How come it's written that he despised the birth?
You want to hear my opinion on that? That it was something that caused conflict with him? He had a responsibility. He was the firstborn, and being the firstborn, there was more. I don't know what the word I want to use. It's not pressure. More responsibility required of him. There's something about that that he just didn't want to have to deal with. Okay. I don't want to go that way.
Did that right kick in before his dad passed away, though?
Did that right kick in before his dad passed away?
His dad had to be dead before he got that right. I mean, before it's possible.
Before he kicked the blood.
I would say, yeah.
So if dad's alive, then I don't have responsibility till.
Yeah, but it's coming.
Yeah, is it possible he didn't realize, but actually when that was written, don't you think he realized it later? That was why he despised it later, because of what he had done. Don't you think that has something to do with it?
Well,
I don't know if he really despised it at that moment when he wanted that food, because that's all he wanted. He wanted that food right now. Like, we want something right now.
And I think it not only has to deal with him, but also with Jacob wanting this.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got something, Carol, and you want it, and you want it so bad that you're going to do anything to get it, man, I despise this thing that I own if it's going to become between you and me. Okay? And here are brothers, and this thing is coming up between the brothers, and you know, Jacob wants it so bad that he's going to sell a bowl of soup. It comes back to what I said earlier, that if my brother comes in and he's hungry, I'm going to give him a bowl of soup. I'm not going to have to sell it to him for a birthright. And it caused a conflict between Jacob and Esau. It was something that Esau did not want to have to deal with. That if I said that you're going to be in your, I want to say Crandall, it's Cardinal, Cardinal Construction. Tomorrow you're going to be the... What's that?
I said, watch yourself, fisherman.
Yeah, well, you're the one who raised your hand, brother, so you're in a hot seat now. I put you in charge of Cardinal Construction tomorrow. You got the hat on that says I'm the CEO, you know? You didn't ask for that. I just put you in charge. You might say, I don't want nothing to do with this. Just put me back where I was at. I was happy there. Taking care of machines, I'd just soon change oil on a machine than be the CEO of Cardinal Construction. It's something I despise because somebody put me there. I didn't ask for it. Does that help with the analogy of why Esau despised this? It was something he didn't ask for, and he didn't really want to have to deal with it. You know, and it's causing conflict. Here, I got to sell my birthright for a bowl of soup. But my brother... Maybe, am I on the wrong line here? I mean, am I? Okay, go ahead.
Kind of takes a little different take on that. It says, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil soup. Esau saw and Esau ate and drank and went on about his business, indifferent to the fact that he'd given up his birthright. And that's the more of the take I take on this. Not so much that he despised it, but that, like Glenda said, and having raised three boys, you know, brothers do this stuff, you know. Jacob had an ulterior motive. Esau was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, later, you can have it, whatever. I just want some soup. And that was like, I think she said, he was just living in the moment. And then later, not realizing the implication of this and giving his word, because at that time he said it, that was important back then. They didn't sign anything. Word was it, you know. So Jacob said, okay, you said, remember when you said that? You know, and like I said, having had three boys, brothers do this stuff. But later, the guy that was just flipping about it, he's got to live up to whatever his decision was, you know. And I think that at this time, Esau's like, yeah, just give me some soup. You can have whatever you want, whatever. And went on about his business, not thinking nothing of it. And then, you know.
He's a mama's boy.
And then later on.
Jacob was.
Yeah. And they're both probably thinking, yeah, Dad will back me on this, and Mom's going to back me on this, you know.
We had an interesting discussion on the way to church this morning, my wife and I, about Jacob being a mama's boy. I said, don't be stereotyping him, you know. Them mama's boys. Anyway.
Get close to home like fishing does.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've got a tough question, but I'm not sure that I know the answer.
Okay, just a minute. Are you listening? Okay.
Did God destine Jacob to be the choice by which the promise was fulfilled? Or did God wait and see the outcome of their decisions? I mean, you know, we assume that God just said, hey, you know, it's through Jacob, but I go back and I'm looking to the text and I'm not really necessarily seeing that. Could it have been that just since Saul made the decision to be immoral and God waited to sell that birthright, that God said, okay, through Jacob? That's the question.
And that was one of those that I wrestled with. All I did was bring up more questions. I have an answer for that, but I'm going to let Sam answer it first.
Well, I also wrestled with a question. I think anybody that studied the Bible for any length has. And my response has come out, foreknowledge of God does not necessitate destination. God knew what kind of a man Jacob would be before he was born, and Esau as well. And because of that, he knew what was going to happen. That didn't make destiny. That didn't say that this is, he established it. That just meant he knew.
And it's also, it helps build people's confidence in God, knowing that he can predict or, you know, this is what is going to happen. People know that when God says something is going to happen, it happens. And if we need, you know, the basis for a lot of the Bible is to build knowledge and compassion for God, because with that we know that He is omnipotent. And, you know, this is just one of the ways that He was building the people to know, hey, I know what's going to happen. I know that this is going to be. And he told her that so that, you know, it got to everybody else.
And so that when it happened, she already had knowledge that it was going to happen this way. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Beth.
Well, if you see this story play out, the promise is given to Abraham. Abraham must have taught his children because he saw that God followed through in his life. So Isaac has to have been raised, has raised his children also to know the promise, to know God's promise. And then here are Jacob and Esau, who've been raised knowing the promise. And I think that God needs people that are visionary, that are also patient enough to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled. He waited 20 years for these boys to be born. And as it follows through, you know, Joseph, as it goes down the line, he was imprisoned, and then when his brothers finally came to him, that strikes me when he says, "Don't worry about it. God, this is God's plan. That's why I'm here, in the position I'm in. God saved you through me." And I think it's that He knows the heart. And I would also agree with Carlene. I've never interpreted despised as hated, but it's despised as had no value for this gift that God had, or for the promise that God had in store for him. No value.
Okay.
You ever seen someone get angry at God for a decision that they made?
Have I ever seen anybody get angry at God for a decision that they had made? Yeah. Carol.
We need to boil it out also to He did have a choice. Just like we do today, we have a choice to follow God or not. And if we make the wrong choice, again, God gives us that free choice.
I had a couple things to say, and I forgot what they were already. Those are all good comments, by the way. And just because I don't respond to them, you guys are right on the money. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, it also shows the power of God, that God's plan does not rely on man. God's plan is in spite of man. No matter what our choices, God's plan is going to be carried out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And He had a definite plan. He made a promise to Abraham, and He was going to fulfill that all the way to Jesus. Okay? We don't see Jacob getting chastised by God for what he did. You know, oftentimes we see Jacob as a deceiver, you know. He's deceiving him here. He's going to deceive Isaac in a little bit, which we're going to have to move along to get to that part, because I want to get through Esau and Jacob. He deceived Isaac, but you do not ever see him being chastised by God, or later on in Scripture, God saying that Jacob, he was such a deceiver, you know, he's not a godly person because of it. You don't see that reprimand, I guess. Which is another question that I come up with, because in Revelation it talks about deceivers thrown in a fire, you know. And here this guy is deceiving people right and left. Go ahead.
Well, I think he got deceived when Buck was told that his son had been killed by a lion.
Yeah, something about Mary and Rachel too. You got the tables were turned on him. Okay.
I think he was really deceiving Esau. He was pretty much right out there front. Give it to me and I'll give the food. I mean, there wasn't a deceit in that.
Yeah, you're right. There wasn't a deceit there.
Yeah.
You're right. I'll agree with that. Would you agree that he was deceitful when he went into Isaac?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Jamie.
But he was definitely being a man in the situation.
Yeah, he was.
Whether you call it deceit or not.
Philippians 2:3 hadn't been written yet, where it says, consider other people more important than yourself. Okay. We get that. We know that, but it hadn't been written yet. So it must not come into play there, right?
But there's already been a prophecy that the older would serve the younger. The prophecy was already there.
See, that's another question. Did Jacob know that? How much did Jacob know? How much did Rebecca say, hey, you know, God came to me in a vision before you were born saying Esau's going to serve you? It doesn't indicate that he had knowledge of that. But that's a question that I came up with, you know. How much knowledge did he have of what God had foretold? Okay, where am I at? We got through Esau despises his birthright. So chapter 26, I'm not going to cover a whole lot of it. It's basically the same type of story as Abraham, who went down to Abimelech and said that Rebekah was his sister, on and on and on. Verse 24 of 26, I do want to make mention that God appeared to Isaac again and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So the promise is given to Isaac again. What does Isaac do? He builds an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. So there's a same type of thing that Abraham did. It was constantly in worship with God. Chapter 26, Isaac was blessed. He became wealthy. And then the end of chapter 26, Esau, who was also 40 years old, married a lady named Judith and Basemath. And in verse 35, they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And you can read into that, you know, maybe they had foreign gods that they were worshiping. Don't know the whole situation there, but it just says that they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, Isaac's old, and he wants to bless his son Esau. Another question I have, okay? What I should have done this class is just throw out all the questions that I came up with and see if you could answer it for me. Why did Isaac send Esau out to get soup? Why didn't he just bless him, you know? But he does. He sent him out to go out to the kill something with his bow, prepare a dish that I like, and I want to bless you before I die. Rebecca overheard it. She told Jacob to go kill a couple goats. She's going to make a dish, get some of Esau's clothing, put some hair on his arms, you know, and go into his father. Now Jacob was kind of hesitant at first, right? He says, you know, I don't want to get a curse on me. And mom says, that's okay. If you get a curse, it's going to be on me. All right, let's go in there and do this thing. Now, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, so I got to figure out where I'm at here. Yeah. Thanks. All right, so he goes through this. He does this thing. He gets the skin on his, you know, on his neck and his arms and everything. And Esau's clothes. Comes into Isaac, and Isaac says, hey, you sound like Jacob to me. Come here, I want to feel you over. And he feels his arms and feels the hair. He ends up smelling. He eats some of the food. Verse 26, Isaac said to him, please come close and kiss me, my son. He came close, smelled the smell of his garments, and he blessed him and said, see the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So Isaac blesses Jacob. Esau comes in after this, and he sees he's been deceived. Now maybe some of you people can relate with this, but if I'm Isaac, and I find out that I just got deceived, somebody's going to be called on the carpet. And it ain't going to be Esau. I say, Jacob! Come here. And I would straighten it out. Yes, sir.
question.
Go ahead.
The two children, Isaac and Esau. Isaac and Jacob. Are they children of Jacob? Jacob is Isaac. Are they children of Isaac?
They're the son of Isaac.
Yeah, are they?
Yes, they're the son of Isaac. Both of them.
But why is it since he was a spiritual man and he had a fear as well, why couldn't he get his blessing to the children according to their ages, but he wanted to bless the first child?
That's a really good question. And it has to do with, in my thinking, the providence of God. The question was, why couldn't Isaac bless Esau the way he wanted to? I mean, he's a father and he wants to bless Esau. Why couldn't Esau get the blessing instead of Jacob, right? Is that the question?
The two children for him, the book of he had the first and the second. Why couldn't he bless the first child according to his prosperity and the second child according to his prosperity? Or he tried calling one of them and said, go and get me a bowl of soup. You got my blessing, you got my brother die. Why couldn't he share the blessing among the two children?
Let me read the blessing again. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who cursed you and blessed be those who bless you. So the question is, why couldn't Isaac bless both of them?
Some of that goes to the fact that the four of the firstborn is in there. God specifies that the children, the firstborn son was supposed to be killed out and separated and set apart for God's service. So there's a special blessing designated for just the firstborn. It's not to be shared or anything like that. Did that just suppose that's the way God would put it? But you know, an interesting thing that kind of goes along with this is the fact that we get a real taste here of the fact that you can lose your blessing. What a thought that carries through Scripture. Esau was not faithful to his relationship with God. He made ungodly, immoral decisions. And for whatever reason, God chose to take his blessing away from him and give it to Jacob.
By the way, I didn't get your first name.
I'm Solomon.
You're Solomon.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Solomon.
Thank you.
I talked to you on the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is Solomon. That's a really good question. But and my question is, why couldn't Isaac say, hey, I was deceived and I'm going to go ahead and give Esau the blessing and forget you, Jacob, you know? That's what I would have done. I'd have said, I got a daughter and a son, okay? I'll just use my daughter and son. Brandon's in there and he deceived me and he goes out and I was trying to bless Amber. I would say, Brandon, you get in here now because we got some talking to do. And I would get this straightened out. There was something about vows. And when these people said vows, there was some significance behind it. I mean, it wasn't just words that they threw out there. When they swore by something, as I think it was Carlene said, it's like a contract. And something about Isaac blessing this person, that when he said that, God... Yeah, that was it. God saw it. It was said. And there's the blessing. And part of the blessing that he gave to Jacob was that the sons were going to he was going to be master over his mother's sons. His brothers will bow down to you. Verse 29. What? Who's got their hand over here? Okay. We'll go to Isaac, and then we'll go to
Jacob. The same thing that happened to Jacob and Esau, we've seen it almost happen to Abraham. Okay, Ishmael is actually the first
a child of Abraham, but how come he didn't inherit, you know, such a great blessing?
Because God said.
Yeah. Isaac is the one that ends up inheriting all the blessings. So same thing happened to Abraham and it happened to Isaac's children. So.
Yeah, there is a correlation there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I first heard the story, I actually got mad at mother for allowing the second born to deceive the father. But then when I went through the story, I was like, okay, it's from God. So I can blame the mother because God already planned for it to happen. So
yeah. Yeah, Jetta said that when she first read the story that she got a little upset at Rebecca for telling her son to go be deceptive, you know. But realizing that through all that, God's will was being done. Go ahead, Sam. We're about out of time, so.
I know. Well, I think that if Rebecca and Jacob had waited, God would have had his way anyhow. Because the prophecy had already been spoken, that Jacob was going to be the leader, and Esau was going to be the follower. Now, if you remember when somebody was hired to curse the children of Israel, he said a mountain could not do it. And I think exactly the same thing would have happened if Isaac would have tried to bless Esau when Jacob was not there. God didn't allow it to happen. We don't know because we never got that far. But they just didn't have enough faith to let God do his will.
God's will be done, right? That's the bottom line through all this. God's will be done. I'm sorry, brother. I was going to try to get us into like Jacob and Rachel and Leah. Yep, chapter 28 for Wednesday night. Thanks for all your participation.